This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes, I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite cun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Mary Walters, sitting in for Todd today. I'm so excited to be with you because it's Friday. Friday shows are always so much fun because everyone's in a good mood, right? Although, I have to tell you, before I came on the air, I said, oh, I'm going to make myself a cup of coffee. I'm going to go do that. And I had defrosted some creamer because I didn't have any. So I had defrosted some creamer. So I put it in the sink earlier. I put it in the sink to defrost, and it was kind of a big container, so it wasn't defrosted. So I go to pour it in my coffee, and there's nothing there. So I cannot tell, I'm standing there at the counter with a pot of coffee, pouring like a table, because it was a brand new container of creamer, pouring like a tablespoon of hot coffee into the creamer, swirling it around, waiting for it to defrost and melt some of the creamer, pouring it in my mug, and then doing it again and getting like a tablespoon every time. That's how I started my day today. Standing there, I'm just standing there thinking, am I the only person in America who has to do this? Because you forget to defrost creamer. And I'm sorry, if you drink coffee black, I truly believe you're like a sociopath. And I only say that because I know someone who drank his coffee black, and there was something wrong with him. So even my husband, who drinks it black, but he drinks it with one packet of sugar or Truvia or something like that. So it's really not black. So I give him a pass on that. But I can drink it black. To me, that's just, what's the point of drinking the coffee at that point? So yeah, so that's what I do so that I can have a cup of coffee. I stand at the counter and I pour a teeny tiny bit of coffee in the top of a very full container because it expands when it's frozen, right, of creamer. And a little bit, and then pour it out, and a little bit, and pour it out. So that's what I did. Grace is planning a great show for you. Coming up later in the show, we have columnist Liz Peek. We're going to talk to her about Biden's plummeting approval ratings, and also her latest article on the GOP. We also have David Perdue. He is running for governor for the wonderful state of Georgia. And Jason Miller, the CEO of Getter. By the way, if you are not on Getter, you better get on Getter, because it's really blowing up with the arrival of Marjorie Taylor Greene and Joe Rogan. It's really become a fantastic site. So if you are not on Getter, you should go to Getter. All right. So that's all coming up. Now, Joe Biden sat down with Lester Holt, and they have released some of that interview. Now, I did not know this, but there is a tradition of presidents giving a pre-Super Bowl interview. Now, I had no idea that this was a thing, and it's a recent tradition, which is probably why. It started in 2004, and it's hosted by whichever network is hosting the Olympic Games, and apparently they change that up. It's not always ABC or NBC. That changes the network that gets to host the Olympics. So Jim Nance interviewed George W. Bush in 2004. Barack Obama was interviewed in 2009 by Matt Lauer, and then he continued to do that throughout his presidency. Obama did. Donald Trump also did a pregame sit down with Bill O'Reilly in 2017 when Fox had the rights in 2017 to the big game. Trump skipped the following year, 2018, when NBC had the rights, but then returned the following year. In 2019, he sat down with Face the Nation, CBS, Margaret Brennan, and he spoke to Fox's Sean Hannity that aired before the 2020 game. Okay. So that's what this tradition is from. So Joe Biden sat down with Lester Holt this year for the interview before the game. And he had a couple of things to say, and some of them are getting more more play than others. Now, this whole thing obviously has not aired. They aired, I think, some this morning. They were airing some, and then they're going to air the rest of it before the game. So they're doing like little dribs and drabs of what they're putting out there. Now, I'm hearing Joe Biden's giving an interview without a teleprompter, without TOTUS. I'm like, okay, we got to watch this. So I'm not the only one who said we have to watch this. So I'm just going to go through some of these clips that we have that they have released, and I want to share them with you, and I want to get your input on them. So you can call 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868 is the number if you want to jump in here and give me your opinion on these. So Lester Holt asked Joe Biden about the withdrawal from Afghanistan because it was so awful and so horrific that even the arm of the publicity arm of the DNC, also known as ABC, NBC, CNN, NBC, CBS, NBC, there it is, CNN, MSNBC, you know, the typical media outlets that you would suspect are calling him on this, right? And, you know, the military came out, the army came out and did an assessment and said, we were unprepared for the fall of Kabul. Of course, no one's held accountable for it. You know, 13 American soldiers died, but no one's going to be held accountable because they're investigating themselves and they are members of the party and the ruling elite. So, of course, they are blameless in all of this. But he was asked about this. He was asked about the report that the Army put out about the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Listen to what Joe Biden says about his military. He is the commander in chief about his military report on the withdrawal.
Subject of American citizens, I have to draw your attention to that Army report, an investigative report that's come out about the lead up to the withdrawal from Afghanistan. It interviewed many military officials and officers who said the administration ignored the handwriting on the wall. Another described trying to get folks in the embassy ready to evacuate, encountering people who were essentially in denial of this situation. Does any of that ring true to you?
No. No. That's not what I was told.
That you were told that the U.S. administration officials were prepared, they knew it was time to get out?
No. What I was told, no one told me that, look, there was no good time to get out. But if we had not gotten out, they acknowledged that we would have had to put a hell of a lot more troops back in. It wasn't just 2,000, 4,000. We would have to significantly increase the number of troops, and we were back in this war of attrition. And there was no way we were ever going to unite Afghanistan. No way that was going to happen. And so this is a much wiser thing to do.
I just want to clarify, are you rejecting the conclusions or the accounts that are in this Army report?
Yes, I am.
So they're not true?
I'm rejecting them.
I reject them. So notice what he said there. Lester Holt said, does any of this ring true to you? And he said, no. And then he also said, no one told me. I believe that he accidentally slipped and told the truth right there. I believe no one told Joe Biden about this. I don't think Joe Biden was in the loop on this. I just don't. I'm at the point where I don't believe that Joe Biden is leading this circus. I don't believe he is the ringmaster here. I don't. And you can disagree with me, but I think what he said there was absolutely true. No one told me. And the reason they don't tell him is because he has a habit of saying things in public he's not supposed to say. I mean, the media just accepts at this point that he says, okay, they told me I have to call on, and then fill in the blank, the name of the person here. That they told me I have to call on Joe from NBC next. He says that out loud in these press conferences, these pressers, when he rarely does them. Or he reads the bottom line on the teleprompter, walk away, stop, walk away. Like, he reads that stuff out loud. They know they can't put him out there. So they're afraid of what he's going to say should he go out there. So they don't tell him. So he can honestly go out and say, no, I reject that. I don't know any of that. He's rejecting his own. He threw the military under the bus when the military basically threw the White House under the bus and said they were not listening to anything we said. And I believe that Joe Biden wanted out of Afghanistan. Donald Trump wanted out of Afghanistan. Donald Trump had a whole plan to get us out of Afghanistan. And that's important to get out of Afghanistan. I get it. But we should have gotten out of Afghanistan the right way. And that didn't happen. We didn't get out the right way. And I do believe that the administration was so hell-bent on getting out that they just winged it. How do you conjugate that? winged. I have no idea. But they just said, yeah, we'll just do it this way. Now, Kyle, I told you I was going to do these in order. I lied to you. I'm not going to do them in order. Let's go to cut five, because this kind of dovetails on that. So,
what are your plans toward American citizens who are in Ukraine and might be there during an invasion? What scenarios would you put American troops to rescue and get Americans out?
There's not. That's a world war. When Americans and Russians start shooting at one another, we're in a very different world than we've ever been in.
Not even on behalf of simply evacuating Americans?
No. How do you do that? How do you even find them? This is not like I'm hoping that if, in fact, he's foolish enough to go in, he's smart enough not to, in fact, do anything that would negatively impact on American citizens.
Have you told him that?
Yes.
You've told him that you know, Americans would be a line that they can't cross?
Well, I didn't have to tell him that. I've spoken about that. He knows that. And, you know, it's a little bit, look, that's what I've asked is American citizens should leave now. We're dealing with one of the largest armies in the world. This is a very different situation, and things could go crazy quickly.
So in other words, no, he didn't tell Putin that. When he was asked directly, did you tell him that? Yes, no, not yet. No, but I told him that, you know, that Americans should leave. So he didn't tell Putin that Americans would be the line in the sand, so to speak. Putin knows that Biden is weak. The whole world knows Biden's weak. I'm willing to bet the whole world suspects that Biden is mentally incapacitated in some way, compromised. That's the word, compromised in some way. And again, I don't say that. Whenever I talk about that, I don't never say it to be funny, because I've had family members who have had dementia, and I've seen it, and it's not a fun thing to see a loved one go through. So I understand that. But by the same token, if that is true, he should not be in the position he is in. It jeopardizes our safety. But he basically told him, no, we're not going to get Americans out. It's going to be Afghanistan all over again. If you watch 90 Day Fiancé, as I do because I am an aficionado, you know that there are a lot of Americans just on that show alone who wind up with a boyfriend, girlfriend, someone they want to marry from the Ukraine. It's usually the women because they're apparently very gorgeous or know how to use Photoshop, or the plastic surgery industry there is like rivaling Brazil's. They're all gorgeous. They're just beautiful women. And these American men who can't get a date in the U.S., but these Ukrainian women want to come to the U.S., so it's a win-win for everybody all the way around. There's got to be a lot of Americans living in the Ukraine. You can't just, like, upend your life. You don't sell your house. You just leave. That's what he expects? Now, coming up, I will tell you that I was evacuated from a foreign country because there was a war going on. I was literally on the last flight out. And I will tell you what the U.S. government used to do for people in Americans in a foreign country and how they handled it. But not under the Biden administration. They're like, the country's surrounded on three sides by the Russian army. And he's like, yeah, you just need to get out. Okay. you want to join in, 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. I'm Mary Welter, and you're listening to The Todd Starn Show.
Friends, last year, your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
All right, so when I last left you, we were talking about Joe Biden and his interview with Lester Holt. And in that interview, he was asked if the American military would help in evacuating Americans from the Ukraine. You know, because everybody's thinking about Afghanistan, because he had just asked him about Afghanistan and about the report that the Army put together investigating what happened in Afghanistan. And they said that the administration had a laissez-faire attitude towards all of this and ignored warnings and treaties to do something and come up with a plan. And so Biden just says, well, I just reject that. Okay, well, then it's not true, of course, because Joe Biden rejects it. And he says no one told him, which I thoroughly believe. But when he was asked about troops to rescue Americans in the Ukraine who were trying to get out, and Joe Biden said, nope, American citizens should leave now. There is no plan to go in and rescue Americans. That's a world war when America and Russia start shooting at each other. We're in a very different world than we've ever been. So he said, it's time for Americans to just get out. There's no plan to evacuate them, which reminded me of a little story. I'll make it quick. So back in the Bill Clinton administration, my husband and I were in the former Yugoslavia. It had been broken up into Bosnia, Herzegovina, the five different provinces. Okay. And they were all fighting, right? And so we go over there. It was a religious trip. It was a religious pilgrimage to Medjugorje. And I'd always wanted to go. And it was coming up on the 10-year anniversary. And everybody thought it was all going to stop then. So anyway, so we go. Now I'm traveling with nuns and priests, right? So I'm figuring, if I get killed on this trip, I'm going to die a martyr. I don't have that kind of luck. That's just not in the cards for me. I'm going to get hit by a bus in like Newark. I'm not going to die a martyr on a religious pilgrimage with priests and nuns. So I kind of figure we're safe. So there's a big group of us. We go over there. We have a grand old time, but you can hear fights. So as we get to the end of our trip, you can hear like bombing and gunshots and shelling and that kind of stuff. And we're like, huh. And the locals had their radios tuned to the military channel, which they could do, and we're listening to all this stuff. And one day we went on a walk through the mountains and we came upon an encampment of these guys. And I have a picture of me to this day sitting on a log with a bunch of, they weren't Serbs, I forget exactly what they were, but these men, and they had, with their AK-47s, and me, little me, in the middle of it, in the middle of camp, because they said, oh, Americans, and they thought the Americans were going to come and save them. Right, that's what they thought was going to happen. So they brought out the big like bagpipe of the skin stomach thing that they were playing, and they had Coca-Cola. They gave us the Coca-Cola, and it was a grand old time. But towards the end of our trip, we noticed there were a couple people there who were definitely military because they had the haircut and they spoke to us in English. And towards the end of the trip, we saw them taking guns out of the back of the car and handing them to the locals to arm themselves. And then one night in the middle of the night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, we got a knock on the door saying, you're out of here. And it was the American military that put us on buses, or these guys, who were spooks. They were not really, they weren't in uniform. And took us to the airport in Sarajevo. Pack up your stuff, you're going. And we were literally, they got us on the last flight out of Sarajevo. That's what the U.S. government used to do. Now Joe Biden's telling people, oh, you just got to get out. Like, if we had to just get out, we never would have been able to get out. It was the State Department and the guys who were there from the military who packed us up at 2 o'clock in the morning and said, get on the bus. And we had like a half an hour to get all our stuff together, get out of the room, and get on the bus. So for Joe Biden to say, no, just get out, like it's easy, like, you know, you're just going to go, you know, get a pod, put your belongings in it, and just pack up the kids and go on vacation, come back to you. Where are you going to go if you're living in the Ukraine? The government should be helping these people, but that's just my humble opinion. Okay, more with Joe Biden and Lester Holt coming up, and your calls at 844-747-8868 if you would like to comment. I'm Mary Walter, in for Todd Starnes.
Our world has certainly changed. Everything is online today. With all the convenience the internet has to offer, our world is more electronic than ever. You may have security systems in place for real life, but what about your online life? Identity Guard can sound the alarm if your digital presence is at risk. Here's a scary stat. Every 7 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or identity theft. 23% of those people never get their money back. And if you think it could never happen to you, think again. Identity Guard can help. They provide advanced monitoring to keep your online accounts, finances, and personal information safe. If a threat is found, you'll get alerted fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. For a limited time, Identity Guard is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit identityguard.com/Todd. Go to identitycard.com/Todd to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. Certain terms apply. See site for details.
Hey, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd Starnes. If you'd like to join me, the number is 844-747-8868. If you're just joining us, so I started out the show talking about how I cannot drink coffee black, like, because I think there's something wrong with people who drink coffee black. Like, I look at you askance, like, what's wrong with you? So I had frozen creamer. And it expands in the container, you know, when it's in a container. And so it was like right at the top and it was still frozen. I had started to defrost it. So I wound up spending, I can't tell you how much time, pouring like a tablespoon of hot coffee into the top of the container, swirling it around as much as I could, waiting for some creamer to melt and then dumping it into my cup and repeating that process over and over until I had a mug, because I have a mug, a big travel mug, enough creamer to get that. And I found out through Grace that Todd drinks his coffee black. Are you kidding me? The horror. I have to say, though, it explains a lot, I think, with Todd. Although I don't know, because I don't work with Todd, but Grace does. I do not work with Todd that closely. So do you agree with my theory then, Grace, that there's something wrong with peace? Just a little bit with people who drink their coffee black?
I agree. I have to have creamer in my coffee. I don't know how people drink it black. Like, I literally don't understand it. No. I'm like, it makes me wonder, like, are your taste buds dead or something? Or are you just like that bitter of a person that you can tolerate it? I'm just kidding.
But that was a good play on words. See, but here's the thing. Bitter?
Yes, but here's the thing, too. That is the healthiest way to drink it. So the people who drink it black are far healthier than I am. But I just, you know, I'm weird, though. I put almond milk creamer in mine. It's liquid.
How exactly do they milk the almonds?
You know, I don't ask questions. I just buy the creamer.
Almond milk.
These are questions that I don't have the answers to.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to have to switch it up, because I know I drink coffee for the health benefits. No, I drink coffee because I'm like a vampire in the morning with the light shining through the window. And that's why I need coffee, not because, you know, I'm drinking it for the health benefits. No, that's just never enters into the equation. It's sometimes, some days, it is literally the only way I'm getting out of bed.
Well, Mary, the only way I drink it, you're going to think I'm really crazy. I drink cold brew every morning. I make it myself. I do not drink hot coffee. I won't drink it.
I do that in the summer. And
I do it all year.
Do you make ice cubes out of coffee and then put it in your...
No, but that is a wonderful idea.
I am clearly the only person in America who's thought of this. I've been doing this for at least 5 years now.
You're ahead of
the
trend. One of
those, the old-fashioned trays, you know, the old-fashioned plastic trays, you know? You put brewed coffee in there.
Yes.
Put it in the freezer, and you pop out a couple of cubes to put it in your coffee so that you don't have to make your coffee, you know, warm or, well, cold,
awesome.
Hot coffee, cold, whatever.
I'm going to try that.
But it works.
It does. Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, I make my cold brew every morning, and I just put some cold almond milk creamer, even when it's 20 degrees outside. That's what I make.
Yeah, well, that part of you, there is something wrong.
Exactly. Maybe I'm a very cold person. Yes. I don't know. I'm not bitter, but I'm cold.
But see, come to me for more helpful tips.
Yes.
I'll be more than happy to help you straighten out your life problems. I also know how to get you evacuated from a country. So there you go.
Very useful.
All right. I try. All right. So Joe Biden was sat down for an interview with Lester Holt. It's a tradition before the big game. The president sit down for an interview with a host from whichever network is hosting the big game that year. And so he sat down with Lester Holt, and he said a couple of things. We're just talking about how, like, if you're in the Ukraine, good luck, because we're not coming to help you. Biden just decreed, nah, we're not going to come and get you, which I thought was just absolutely stunning and ridiculous. And I could not believe it when he said it. Now, he was also asked about the Supreme Court, because that's a big thing now. You know, they did Brennan dirty and leaked someone in the administration leaked out the information that he was, Breyer was considering retiring. They leaked that out. And I cannot imagine how betrayed he must have felt. But they don't care, because they want to get that pick before the midterms. So they think they can get some votes if they pick someone who I think is very progressive and appeals to that part of the base, because they're very upset with Joe Biden right now. So here's Joe Biden talking about his search for a new Supreme Court justice.
Can I ask you where you stand right now in your nomination process for Supreme Court? What your short list looks like? Or if you want to name the nominee right here, we'd be happy to hear you.
Well, first of all, the short list are nominees who are incredibly well qualified and documented. They were the honor students. They come from the best universities. They have experience. Some on the bench, some in the practice.
What's the number you're at? 4, 5, 6?
Well, what I've done is I've taken about 4 people and done the deep dive on them, meaning this thorough background checks, and to see if there's anything in the background that would make them not qualified.
Is it important that you believe they'll get a vote from the Republican side?
Well, I think whomever I pick will get a vote from the Republican side for the following reason. I'm not looking to make an ideological choice here. I'm looking for someone to replace Judge Breyer with the same kind of capacity Judge Breyer had, with an open mind, who understands the Constitution, interprets it in a way that is consistent with the mainstream interpretation of the Constitution.
Yeah. Okay, so let's unpack what he said there. And if you would like to comment, 844-747-8868. We can unpack that a little bit of what he had to say. So I made some notes. This is the man, remember, who chose Kamala Harris. Now, he's using the same criteria to pick a Supreme Court justice as he did for the vice presidency of the country, which is gender and skin color. Those were his 2 qualifications. And look what we have. I cannot take credit for this. I saw someone else post this. She will go down in history as the worst affirmative action hire ever. Like, that's how history, she's going to be the textbook use of what this is, what affirmative action gets you. When you hire based on qualities that have nothing to do with a person's ability to do the job, you get Kamala Harris. I also, you know, we've heard the discussions about whether it's racist and all that other stuff. And I do think it's racist, and I do think it's sexist to say only a woman and only a woman of color. And, you know, anybody else, don't even bother applying. We're not even interviewing. Can you even imagine if Donald Trump said, I'm not even considering women or anyone who's not white? No Hispanics, no blacks, no Asians. You need not apply. I'm not even going to talk to you. Their heads would explode, and it would be wrong. Rightfully so, their heads would explode. He also went on about their education from the best schools. The liberal elite, the Ivies in this country, are cesspools. They are indoctrination factories that you pay a lot of money for in groupthink and leftist ideology. And I always say this. Education does not equal intelligence. Just because you are educated doesn't mean you are intelligent. Intelligence takes many forms. I know a lot of people who are crazy book smart, but they couldn't get out of a paper bag if you handed them directions. And I know a lot of people who never went past high school who are wildly successful businessmen and women because they have business smarts. They just have it. They are very intelligent business people. You know, AOC, she went to Boston, right? Boston College, Boston University. It's not an Ivy, but she's quote unquote educated. She's one of the dumbest rocks on the planet, right? Like dumbest rocks in the box is what I meant to say. You know, she's not that smart. She doesn't know how to use a disposal, really? So never confuse education with intelligence. It's kind of like how they confuse immigration, that all immigration's the same. No, there's illegal immigration and there is legal immigration. But they always conflate the two. And when he talks about votes, I'm sure we'll get a couple of votes from the other side. Yeah, Mitt Romney, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, the usual suspects. Mitt Romney's going to vote for anybody Joe Biden puts up there. I know it. I could be wrong. I also, some of the other ones. There's a couple names that I could think of. I wouldn't be surprised if Mitch McConnell votes for some of them, because Mitch McConnell, in my book, is a creature of the swamp. That's just me. I just think that Mitch McConnell is a creature of the swamp, and he's a big anti-Trumper, and he is going to he's going to just go against. I don't know. I just don't like him. Let's go to Jerry Lynn in Georgia, listening on WDUN. Jerry Lynn, you're on the Todd Starnes Show. Hi.
Hi. How are you? How's your day?
I'm doing good. Now that I got the creamer defrosted, all is right with the world.
That's right. Well, I just want to make a quick comment. I love, absolutely adore Grace and Todd, but my comment is everyone except Grace keeps referring to Kamala Harris as skin color black. She is not black. She don't, her daddy's bad. She doesn't have a drop of black in her.
I thought that one of her parents was Indian and the other was African American.
Jamaican. Honey. I watched Jennifer.
I got. You're right. You're 100% right. You are right. You are 100% right.
Her daddy in the interview said that her mom and daddy had actually distanced themselves from her because she had been a disgrace.
True.
And he said. She only uses a black card when it benefits her. She does not have a pin drop of black in her.
Well, she doesn't have African blood in her. And I think that's why they don't call her African American. They just say black, because her family's not from Africa. You know what? You are 100% right. And I think, listen, when she was first elected, she was billed as the first Indian American that was elected to the Senate. That's how she was billed originally. But then when it suits her, she's black. So, of course, they're going to play the race card. This is what they do. But regardless of whether, and I would bet that the Indian side is saying, oh, she's not ours, and the black side saying, oh, she's not ours, because she is such an example of what happens when you hire not based on qualifications. She's a disaster. But you're 100% right. Thank you for the correction. I do appreciate that. She's not African American. And I think people from Jamaica, though, consider themselves black. They don't consider themselves white. And this is the, can I just say on a little tangent here, this is, and have a great weekend, Jerry Lynn. I forgot to say have a great weekend. This is the problem when we start having hyphenated Americans, right? You don't have German Americans or French Americans. You're just all white. But when you get into this whole African American thing, then you wind up with, well, what about Dominican American or Puerto Rican American or Colombian American? Or Jamaican American, it becomes ridiculous. Why can't we? I've said this forever and ever and ever. I don't understand why we just can't be Americans. Why do we have to be hyphenated? And the reason for that is for political gain. It's the politicians who do it. It's easier to divide us into classes if you are a hyphenated American. That's why. That's absolutely why they do it. And we allow them to do it to us. And yeah, look at me say, calling her black. But that's why she was hired, because she has now portrayed herself to be a black American, and everyone just assumes that's African American when it's not in her case. So she played the card well. She knows how to play the game, and look where it's gotten her. She's done very well with it. 844-747-8868. I'm Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes. Your call's coming up next.
By now, you've heard me talk about MyPillow and how Mike Lindell is just a great American patriot. And he is. And he has done it again with his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers designed to wear indoors or outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And they're also made with quality leather suede. Now, for a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his My Slippers. So comfortable, you're going to want to get some for the whole family. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes and click on the radio listener square. Use my promo code Starnes. You're going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including some overstocked items such as individual towels, blankets, comforters, and so much more. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes. You can also call 800-839-8506. Use the promo code Starnes.
I think it was back in July you said inflation was going to be temporary. I think a lot of Americans are wondering what your definition of temporary is.
Well, you're being a wise guy with me a little bit, and I understand that's your job. But look, at the time, what happened was let's look at the reason for the inflation. The reason for the inflation is the supply chains were cut off, meaning that the products, for example, automobiles, the lack of computer chips to be able to build those automobiles so they could function, they need those computer chips. They were not available. So what happens? With the number of cars that were reduced, the new cars reduced, it made up at one point one-third the cost of inflation because the price of automobiles were up. So what I did when I went out and made sure we started to make those domestically, we got Intel to come in and provide $20 billion to build a new facility. A number of organizations are doing the same kinds of things.
When can Americans expect some relief from this soaring inflation?
According to Nobel laureates, 14 of them that contacted me and a number of corporate leaders, it ought to be able to start to taper off as we go through this year. In the meantime, I'm going to do everything in my power to deal with the big points that are impacting most people in their homes.
Yeah. Am I the only person who has zero confidence in Joe Biden to handle this? Zero. I don't think Joe Biden has any clue. He doesn't live in the real world. People who live in Washington, D.C. do not live in the real world. They just don't. I've seen it. They live in a bubble where everybody works for the government. They all have guaranteed incomes. They don't have to worry about things like inflation because they get guaranteed pay raises and on. And, you know, Joe Biden is talking about giving federal workers a pay raise. The rest of us, we don't get those things. We just keep getting to pay the pay raises. That's what we get. And the reason our money doesn't keep up, you look back at, I love old movies. So I look back at these houses, you know, the movies in the 40s and 50s. Everybody had a housekeeper. And this is a middle-class family. And they all had a housekeeper. And dad was the only one working. Like, how did they do that? It's because they paid far less of their money in taxes. A far smaller chunk of their paychecks went to the government. They got to keep a lot more of what they earned. So we have a much higher tax burden. So before we even get the money in our pockets and then have to deal with inflation, the government has taken a bigger chunk from us than they ever took from our parents, and certainly a lot more than they took from our grandparents. So we're automatically dealing with less. So we automatically have to work harder to keep up the same level of standard of living as our parents had. You know, my mom didn't work. My mom stayed home. And when I say she didn't work outside the home. All right. So if you're a stay-at-home mom, back off. Because staying at home and raising the kids and running the house, that is no picnic. All right. But they were able to do it on just one income. I know very few families that are capable of doing that now. And you've got to wonder why. Why is that? You're making more money than ever, but the problem is the money isn't going as far as it used to because the government has their big grubby hands in it. That's part of the problem. You add inflation into that, and it's ridiculous. You can't keep up. You just can't keep up. So I have zero confidence that Joe Biden will be able to handle this. Liz Peek will be coming up next. We're going to talk to her about what people say about Joe Biden. A very interesting poll that was done regarding Joe Biden and his ability to handle the problems that are in front of us. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about our friends at Patriot Mobile. Now more than ever, it's important to support companies and organizations that share our values. And Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, but they actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes that you care about. Switch to Patriot Mobile now and use promo code Todd to get free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and uses the same towers that other carriers use. They have plans to fit any budget, along with some great discounts for our veterans and first responder heroes, as well as multi-line users. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, T-O-D-D, or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount and free premier activation by using promo code Todd. For more details, visit patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. More coming up.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Friday to you. I'm Mary Walters, sitting in for Todd Starnes today, kicking it off here with columnist Liz Peek. Liz, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Great to have you. Liz?
Yes, hello.
Oh, there you are. Hi.
I think you hadn't got me on. Yes, I'm delighted to join you. Thanks.
Let's talk about, there's a poll that is out right now, and it is so bad for Joe Biden that even CNN has to report this the way it really is. They have to be honest about this. This is, after all, their poll. And the fact that they are reporting this honestly, to me, just says, well, I'll tell you what I think is saying about this, and we'll get into the poll. I want to know what you think. I think that the memo has gone out that the Democrats are done with Joe Biden. I think the memo has gone out that they know he's not a viable candidate in 24. They probably don't think he's going to make it much longer. He won't serve out the 4 years. I don't know, because they don't have anyone to follow, you know, to put in his place. But the fact that the media is now kind of turning on him, you saw The View starting to criticize Stacey Abrams. You see you see CNN doing a poll where Biden comes out horribly, and they're actually talking about how dismal his approval ratings are. What does that say to you about what's happening with the Democrats?
Well, I agree with you. Something has changed, and it makes all the sense in the world to me that they have decided. Look, I think you and I can agree. I would give odds against him running in 2024 1,000 to 1. I mean, literally, it astonishes me that people actually still take that idea even slightly credibly. It's not going to happen. I mean, for one thing, there are a lot of hungry Democrats who want to run in his stead, so including Hillary Clinton, absurdly. So I think that's just not going to happen. So, yeah, I think the media is shifting gears. They look unbelievably stupid for not doing so earlier, for not challenging him at all, for giving him a free ride into the Oval Office, which is what they did. I mean, if the media had done even the most cursory investigations into Hunter Biden or Joe Biden's ties to some of these pretty questionable deals that Hunter Biden got involved with in Ukraine and China and Russia and so forth, he wouldn't be president. But they didn't. They gave him every opportunity to hide out in his bunker and become president. Now I think they look pretty darn dumb. But to your point, they also know that he is dragging down the party. I mean, when you have Joe Biden go on the road, as has happened two or three times now, and have the hometown Democrats not show up for his event, as happened in Georgia, as happened in Pennsylvania, that is mortifying, and it really speaks to the fact that a lot of candidates want to distance themselves from what is now viewed as a failing president. By the way, another one,
Another instance of this, which I find pretty interesting, is the New York Times has a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information request, for stuff to do with Hunter Biden. And that is very intriguing. What is that all about? I mean, having steadfastly ignored this story for over a year, they're now going to actually pretend that, to want to know about it. So to your point, something has, without a doubt, has something has changed.
Yeah, and to your comment about the media, you're right. They absolutely elected him. I think they're drunk on the power of knowing that they have the power to elect the president, not the people, that they have that power. And they did it successfully with Joe Biden. I don't think they're embarrassed at all. I don't think they're embarrassed. I think they're proud of themselves. I think they pat themselves on the back because it wasn't Trump, and that was the goal. The goal was never Trump. The goal was to stop Trump. They knew Biden was not a good candidate, and they figured we'll just deal with him later. So I don't think that they are embarrassed whatsoever.
Maybe not embarrassed, but let's face it, it hasn't hurt their rate. I mean, it hasn't helped their ratings. Without Trump, CNN's a disaster. MSNBC is not doing well. The New York Times isn't doing well. They needed Trump. And so what they've got now is this sad sack president who's dragging everybody down. They may not be embarrassed. That may have been a poor choice of words, but I think they're really being hung out to dry on their choice. And by the way, on this poll, I don't know about you, but if you remember just a few days ago, the media was talking about how Biden had a great week. Remember, this is a big week. He had a big jobs number, and that was really touted, and they killed some ISIS person who was a leader of ISIS. That was supposed to be a big thing, and the polls went down. I couldn't believe it. And this is before the inflation number. It's just general... I think just general tiredness and looking at this guy. I don't know if you saw him yesterday. A reporter asked him about inflation, and he talked kind of like this. I mean, talk about lack of energy, lack of resolve, lack of answers. He doesn't have any, and if he did, he doesn't have the energy to put them into effect. So, I was going to write a column saying, at what time is it pity time? I mean, when do we start to pity Joe Biden? I'm almost there.
Yeah, I'm not. I will never be there. You know, this
no,
is a,
I'm not either.
You know what? This is a choice you made. Cry me a river. My mother always used to say to us, be careful what you wish for. You just might get it.
It applies
here. I blame his wife. I think his wife is complicit in this, and I think it's terrible what they are doing to him. We don't have a lot of time with you, so I want to get to it. Speaking of columns, in case we don't get to it, you have a piece in The Hill titled GOP Don't Fall for the America Competes Act. So if we don't get to that, I want to direct people to check that out because I never even heard of the America Competes Act. So it is eye-opening, and it's something that you should learn about. So let's just – maybe we'll get there, but I just want to quickly get into this poll because there's so much in this poll to look at. It is a CNN poll, and you noted that the poll numbers for Joe Biden just keep going down, 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 down. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But what's interesting in this poll, and even CNN points it out, is Joe Biden has, of course, incredible support among Democrats. But when asked, what has Joe Biden done that you admire? nobody could name anything.
Guy said, well, he's not Donald Trump, but that's about it.
Right.
Awful.
That does speak volumes as to how he got into office, though.
Yep, that's what he was. He was not Donald Trump. But here's the thing, Mary. What has completely destroyed his presidency is taking that so far. What has he done? What is the unifying theme of the Joe Biden presidency? It is not being Donald Trump. So anything Donald Trump did in office has to be undone. Even things like the Abraham Accords and even things like securing the southern border, which were popular, positive, incredibly good for our country. Joe Biden is so dumb that he actually thought that was going to help his presidency, just to take a sledgehammer to everything that Trump did. It's so stupid because guess what? Even the people who didn't like Donald Trump, and there were many, let's face it. I mean, he didn't get beaten just because Joe Biden was in the wings. Donald Trump made a lot of enemies and offended a lot of people, but even a lot of those people liked his policies. They liked less regulation. They liked lower taxes. They liked a secure border. And this idiot that we have now just thinks that going against every single one of those things is good for him. No, it's bad for him and it's bad for the country.
Yeah, well, I firmly don't believe that he knew what he was signing when they put that that stack of EOs in front of him, and he just kept signing and signing and signing. I guarantee you he had no clue what he was signing. Those were done long ago. I think Susan Rice had a hand in those. I think Barack Obama had a hand in those. I don't think Joe Biden was the architect of any of that, but that's just me. But what's interesting in this, and I know you saw this, is only 36% of independents approve of the way he's handling his job. It's almost 60% of the country, Democrats, Republicans, independents combined, 60% disapprove. A great number of those come from Republicans and independents. They cannot afford to lose independents. And I thought that was so interesting that they are starting to move away from Joe Biden. What is happening here?
Wow. In fact, on a number of polls, if you look at independents' positions on various things that Joe Biden is doing, not just the CNN poll, but the Economist poll, Reuters has a new one out, a whole bunch of others, independents seem to be worse than Republicans in how they grade, or harsher, I would say, than how they grade Joe Biden, which I mean, I haven't taken the time to sit down and compile all the numbers because I love doing that. I'm such a complete wonk. But the truth is the independents have turned on this guy in spades. And I do think it's interesting. Independents call themselves independents for a reason. They are not aligned with one party or the other. Hopefully they really do look at policies. And hopefully they make their decisions on that basis. And I think they're just so affronted by the utter collapse of everything that's going on right now. And I'm assuming that also you've looked at the polling on things like blacks and Hispanics. Guess what? They, too, are moving away from Joe Biden. Democrats are really in a pickle here because their major blocks, I mean, why are they continuing to kowtow to the teachers' unions? Because that's one of the only kind of support blocks that is still in their camp. I mean, they're losing racial minorities to Republicans, or at least out of the Democrat grip. And you know, I mean, I don't know, electorally, I think that has to be a huge problem. I will sound one warning note here, and I do think this is something that people should be paying attention to. All this is true. The country is fed up with Joe Biden. But when you look at the generic ballot, the Republicans are up. I think Real Clear Average Politics is up 4 points on average. That's huge because Republicans are usually below it. But it's not as much as I would think. It's not It's not like the country is saying, whoa, we are done with Joe Biden. Boy, let's vote in some Republicans. And my concern is the Republicans have been reluctant to articulate a platform. Yes. You know, when Joe Biden started this thing about what are they for? I know what they're against. What are they for? Mitch McConnell was on Bret Baier, one of the shows, and he didn't rise to the bait. He didn't say, here's what we're for. I could do that. You could do that. I'd say, okay, we're for stable prices, secure borders, safe streets, you know, 10 other things that Republicans stand for, school choice, et cetera. He didn't do it. And what I'm hearing is the Republican leadership is deciding that this is better to be a negative campaign this year than positive. I disagree with that 100%. I think we need to offer voters a choice, a real choice, not just let's get rid of the Democrat Party, but here's what you want. You want your kids to be able to go out and play in the streets and not worry about gang ban drive-by shootings that end them up in the hospital. Yep. I mean, that's not so hard, is it? I want to end people walking into stores and walking out with their arms full of stuff and not being apprehended. I think it's pretty easy right now to come up with a slate of policies that Republicans can win on. I want them to do that.
I agree with you 100%, but Mitch McConnell has to go. Mitch McConnell is a creature of the swamp. He has to go. He is not a good leader. He may have been a good leader, you know, a couple decades ago or when he first started, you know, leading, when he first got into Congress. He may have been good then, but he is the old GOP. He is not the new GOP. And I always say, never, ever underestimate the Republicans' ability to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Well, I don't disagree. I think that they are not particularly good at, I mean, for example, one issue that just drives me nuts right now, they have nothing on health care. They have literally no answers on health care. Yep. And this is going to be something that they'll be hit over the head with time and again. It's amazing to me that all the smart party people haven't come up with a simple sellable idea on how to bring healthcare costs down, bring in the free market, you know, allow big companies to take a bigger role in setting up clinics in their shops, all that kind of stuff. As to Mitch McConnell, I will push back a little bit. We have Brett Kavanaugh in the Senate, on the bench, because of Mitch McConnell.
That's true.
He has been very much the guardian of Republicans, and we have Merrick Garland not on the bench because of Mitch McConnell. That took a lot of guts. He took
That's
an incredible
true.
Beating from Democrats and the media and everybody else. I would not be quite so quick to throw Mitch McConnell under the bus because, frankly, the Supreme Court is our last resort. And right now, it's in pretty good shape. I hope to... And by the way, in keeping the Republican caucus together in the mm-hmm. Senate, let's face it, with Joe Manchin's help and Kyrsten Sinema, we have defeated this progressive agenda that otherwise I think would be in place right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And regards Mitch McConnell, even a blind squirrel eventually finds a nut. So,
okay.
But I do give him credit for that. I really do. But I think he is just a poor leader when it comes to policy. I just think he is. Liz Peek, we are out of time. But check out The Hill. GOP, Don't Fall for the America Competes Act. Because, again, I had never heard of this. So I learned a lot from reading that. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Oh, you too. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Sure. 844-747-8868 is the number if you would like to comment. We're going to delve into this poll just a little bit because coming up, David Perdue, candidate for the governor seat in Georgia. I'm Mary Walter, in for Todd Starnes. Happy Friday. Mary Walter sitting in for Todd Starnes today. If you'd like to join me, 844-747-8868 is my number. We were just speaking with columnist Liz Peek, and I'm telling you, Liz is a great person to listen to, and I read her column in The Hill. She's so knowledgeable, and like she's got to be. She said, I'm a dork, you know, I do those things. She's got to be, because she knows, I could ask her about anything, and she'll know exactly what I'm talking about. She's one of those people. And one of the things she talked about is, you know, the midterms coming up this year, and how Republicans don't have a platform. They're just going to run on, apparently, just, you know, at least we're not Joe Biden, right? And that's how Joe Biden got into office, because at least we're not Donald Trump. So they're not going to talk about really what they stand for. And she feels that that's a mistake, and I do as well. And she said, you know, there's not a Republican who's come up with a plan for health care. And that's very true. There is not a Republican who has come up with a plan for health care. Gail in Louisiana would like to talk about that. Gail, happy Friday. You're on the Todd Starnes Show.
Well, glad to be here. Wonderful day in Louisiana.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it.
All y'all out there.
Thank you.
So my point was, Liz made a good point that the Republicans are not focused on health care. And what I wanted to say is that we have some doctors that are senators. And I think, you know, it'd be great for them to focus on health care. It's such a huge cost for middle America.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let the Democrats brand them with the previous preventive health care from previous
right.
conditions. Well, the key thing for being from Louisiana, I would invite and encourage Senator Bill Cassidy to focus his energies on improving health care rather than running around like a rhino Republican voting for impeachment of Trump, and then this recent betrayal of cutting that infrastructure deal for the Democrats that is really a minor part to infrastructure.
I think something only 5% of that bill actually goes for infrastructure. It's really all about the Green New Deal and that bill that we're going to pay for with our taxpayer dollars. And I guarantee you, most of it's just going to disappear. They're not going to know where the money goes. They pump millions and millions and millions of dollars all over to different organizations and groups and this and that. And it gets lost. But what the heck? It's just taxpayer money. It's just taxpayer money. Thank you. I appreciate your joining us and listening to the Todd Starnes Show. You have a fantabulous weekend. Here's the thing. I'm going to say something here, and maybe you're going to disagree with me. I don't think the government should be involved in healthcare. How about that? How about we go back to the way it used to be? Because it's expensive because you're paying for all the people who aren't paying. Coming up, gubernatorial candidate David Perdue on the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd Starnes today on the Todd Starnes Show. Hope everyone's having a wonderful Friday. Joining us now, gubernatorial candidate in Georgia, David Perdue, also former senator. Sir, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm so glad you're joining us.
Well, thank you, Mary. I'm excited about it. I appreciate you filling in for Todd today.
Well, thank you. Wow, that's what I've never had anyone say they were excited to talk to me. I have to tell my husband about this. He should be more excited when he talks to me.
All right.
So let's talk about what's happening in Georgia. I have some friends who just moved there, brand new residents of Georgia. I think a lot of people are doing that. You're seeing a huge influx into your state. But what I'm also seeing in your state, because I would think the people that are coming into your state, into Georgia, are people who are disaffected from some of the more red, from some of the more blue liberal states, which, by the way, they need to flip the colors. Because when I think of red, I think communist. I don't think Republican. So the colors are backwards. But they're fleeing these blue states to go to Georgia. But yet there's a battle in Georgia as well. Stacey Abrams has raised $9.3 million, according to her campaign filings. That's pretty good. And I see I think that the Democrats are going to pour a ton of money into Georgia to try to take turn the state over to the Democrats. What is going on in your state with a growing Democrat demographic?
Well, Georgia is a popular state. It's an attractive state for inflow of new population, and we've grown dramatically over the last 5 or 6 years. But what's going on right now is we have a battle for the majority in our state, and I think Stacey Abrams has stepped in now. She's raised $10 million or so, mostly from out of state, from large donors, and she wants to actually go to the left of where you see the Biden administration. So, unfortunately, on the Republican side, Mary, we have a divided state after the 2020 elections. Yes. Our governor came in and gave the election process over to Stacey Abrams, and we saw what happened. And then after the election, Governor Kemp denied several times our request for a special session. I filed three lawsuits. Was told by the court that it was the purview of the state legislature, but we couldn't get a special session from the governor. I asked for the resignation of Brad Raffensperger, our Secretary of State. And mm-hmm. So the leaders here on the Republican side have been in denial, and I'm running for the governorship because I want the state's Republicans to have a choice in the primary about who they will unite behind to stand up to Stacey Abrams. It's very difficult for me to see how Brian Kemp is going to be able to get the Trump voter out in November.
Now, that primary is May 24th, so that's not too far away. But here's what happened. So for people who don't know, Vernon Jones was running as well. Now, he has decided to drop out of the gubernatorial race. He has thrown his support behind you, and now he is going to be running for a Congress now instead in the midterms. But the argument is that if he had stayed in the race, it would have made it easier for Republicans to win, because you have to have 50% of the votes in November 2020, because that's how you lost in November 2020. That's how you lost, right? Because you have to have 50% of the vote, and Ossoff wound up topping you out in the rerun. So does it benefit, should Vernon Jones have stayed in the race, because it would have made it a three-way race on May 24th as opposed to a two-way race whereby Kemp could get 50% of the vote?
Well, actually, you know, Vernon Jones is a really good friend of mine, and he and I were saying much the same thing. We were complaining about lack of leadership and the corrupt nature of how our state's being run, and the total lack of leadership during and after the elections in 2020. I won the November election by 90,000 votes, some 480,000 votes more than Kemp got in 2018 when he ran against Abrams. And yet we missed, I think I had 49.8% of the vote. We missed the 50% rule by just a few thousand votes and got pulled in a runoff. And so many hundreds of thousands of people in Georgia had lost confidence in the voting system, did not come back out in January. So what Vernon has done is gone into a House race here, the 10th District. He and I are like-minded in so many ways. And so what this does then is allows for a unified approach to the campaign against Brian Kemp. And so I'm not worried about him getting 50% in the primary on the first round. If anything, I think he needs to be worried. What I'm seeing right now is an amalgamation of people around the state who are so disillusioned by the leadership that he's provided in the first 3 years, particularly in 2020 and 2021.
You bring up a really good point there. You talk about when the runoff happened and how he got more votes and Ossoff got more votes. Here's the thing. I think Donald Trump, and you have Donald Trump's endorsement, correct?
I had Donald Trump's endorsement now. I had it in 2020. And, right. It means the world. And right now, what we're seeing is that people are responding to that. Not many people know that yet, but when they respond to that, I think the people are the political establishment here, the career politicians down at the state capitol are going to be shocked. But this is a people versus politician race, Mary, and the polls don't pick that up yet.
Yeah, but I think, and I could be wrong, I want to know if you agree, but I think Donald Trump did some damage there in Georgia because he kept talking about how the race was rigged. And I think a lot of people feel very disaffected. I think a lot of people feel very burned after the 2020 election because they do suspect that something happened, but we get no answers. There's no investigations. It's just kind of like, trust us, everything was on the up and up. Whereas if we had some legitimate, in the open investigations, I think they could have quelled that feeling of things aren't right with the election, and it would restore some faith in the process. And from what I'm hearing from you, that faith has not been restored in the process in Georgia, has it?
No, and that's why I'm running. I mean, I think what I'm telling people is, you really want it fixed, you got to get me elected. I want an election law enforcement division inside the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, because we don't have that now. We don't have a dedicated group. And right now, nobody at this point, as we sit here, no one has thoroughly investigated this in an independent, outside fashion. And that's what's missing here. The people in January of 2021 in that runoff had lost confidence in the system. I wouldn't put this at the feet of Donald Trump. He did his best to try to get people out, but they had already been disenfranchised. And what his message now is the same as he gave the people of Virginia before that governor's race just a month or so ago. He said, look, they fixed some of the rules. It's not perfect, but it's good enough. We can overwhelm it if we all vote. We've learned our lesson in Georgia, and we're uniting here. And that's why I ran, was to give that disenfranchised group, the people of Georgia, a choice in this Republican primary, because, frankly, people have lost confidence in our governor, and they've lost faith that he can actually stand up and beat Stacey Abrams in the fall.
Now, let's talk a little bit about fundraising, because Brian Kemp is just dominating in the fundraising. He's raised $19.3 million and another $2.3 million through Georgians First, which is a leadership committee. You have raised just a little bit over $1 million. I want to ask about the Nationals' support. Do you feel that you are getting any support from the National, or have they taken sides?
Well, it takes a while. People don't realize that this governor's race is so important. It will become a national race here, I think, at any moment. And here's why. If we want a Republican back in the White House in 2020 and stop this madness, and if we want the Senate majority back here in Georgia, you have to win this Senate seat this fall against Raphael Warnock. If you want both those two things to happen, we have to win this governor's race. One of the reasons I didn't run for Senate, Mary, is that earlier this year, is that I had decided that it'd be very difficult to win if Brian Kemp is running alongside me as governor, because he has disenfranchised so many people in the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Over 70%, Mary, in Georgia of Republican primary voters believe that significant fraud happened in 2020 and that the governor did nothing to prevent it or to investigate it. All we asked for after the election in 2020 in November is I just went to war. I knew something had happened, and we asked several times for a special session. We went to court doing three lawsuits, and we even asked for the resignation of the Secretary of State. To no avail. So they circle their wagons. They've been in denial all year. And now you see some evidence beginning to pop up out there in social media. That's real hard evidence that we presented to the governor in May of last year, and they just would not investigate it. So people have just lost confidence, and they were looking for someone to stand up to this nonsense. Mm-hmm. And that's why my wife and I decided to run late. We've only been in this thing for about 2 months. So I'm not worried about the money, Mary.
Okay.
In this particular race, It's about people versus politicians. People are going to determine the outcome of this race. not advertising, and that's where they'll burn a lot of their donors' money and wasted negative advertising, saying the same lies that they said just 2 years ago were lies when the Democrats tried to perpetrate all these lies. So they're going to burn through a lot of money. It won't make any difference because the people are mad. They're going to rise up, and we're going to see that in May of this year.
Yeah, I do agree that people are mad. I absolutely agree with you on that. And the reason I asked that question about the national is I watched what happened in California. I watched what happened in Virginia with Youngkin. I watched what happened in New Jersey with Jack Cittarelli. And you never saw any high-profile Republicans come and campaign for them. Yet the Democrats will you know, come from all over the country to support their guy in a race, no matter where it is. They will pour money in from all over the country in order to turn a state. They could have turned New Jersey red, just like they did in Virginia. They could have had the race in New Jersey. Jack Cittarelli only lost by a couple thousand votes, but the Republicans, the national, gave him no support in that sense. There was no visible support, I should say it that way, from the national Republicans. I didn't see it. And I thought, God, if they would just come and support this guy or maybe throw some money at his campaign, he could do a lot more and I think be a lot more successful. So that's why I brought that question up to you about support from the national.
Well, we'll see that really in spades. You're exactly right. In the general, Stacey Abrams' money is all coming from outside. And
right.
Our Senate race last year, $55 million was given into Georgia by Zuckerberg alone, just 55. And that all went to county election boards. We had things like mobile voting buses in some Democratic areas. I mean, this was such an egregious thing our Secretary of State and Governor allowed to happen. And most people are just now coming to realize how egregious it really was. But this national money will dominate this governor's race when we get into the general. The Democrats can't raise any money in Georgia. All their money, Stacey Abrams' money, when she ran for governor in 18, over 80% of her money came from outside the state of Georgia.
Yep.
These blue states think they can come into Georgia and throw money around and buy this state, steal it from the good people in Georgia. And I'm not going to have it. That's why I ran. I'm as mad as anybody about this. That's not why I'm running. I want a bold new future for our state. And unfortunately, the leadership to get there has just been lacking. And I think people have seen that. That's why they're coming out in droves right now.
Now, just one more quick question. Again, we're up against the clock. On Monday, you got a ruling from a federal judge that prevents Kemp from using any of the funds that was raised by his leadership committee, that $2.3 million, to help win the nomination. You had to file that lawsuit. Is this a game changer for you in any way?
Of course. This was a height of corruption by a career politician. My opponent's been in office for 20 years. He said to us in November he wouldn't change the rules during the middle of the game. But here in the dark of night last year, he signed a bill that gave him the ability to do things that I as a challenger can't do. And they put millions of dollars over there. So this judge on Monday said that's unconstitutional. You can't raise any more money into that, and you certainly can't use it. So it was a big step in the right direction to clean up this corrupt bill that they passed last year. I was very pleased with that.
Yeah, good for you. Thank you so much for joining us. David Perdue, former senator, that's recognized the name, and a gubernatorial candidate for the state of Georgia. I wish you the best of luck and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mary. You too. Bye now.
Bye now. 844-747-8868 if you would like to join me on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Mary Walter in for Todd. Coming up in about 15 minutes will be Jason Miller, the CEO of Gitter, on big tech censorship and Joe Rogan and what's happening with him, and also some new Gitter features that will be coming to the platform soon. So that's exciting. So we're going to talk to him. I have to share this story with you, though. So in California's Bay Area, San Francisco, it's a dump, right? We all know it's a dump, and it's really sad because it used to be nice. There was always some areas that were, you know, kind of dumpy. We all know that down by the wharf, you know, it was always kind of dicey, and then they cleaned it up, and now it's dicey again. It's kind of like it's cyclical. It's like Times Square was dicey. Juliana came, then they cleaned it up, and now it's kind of dicey again. So that's where it is in San Francisco in the Bay Area. So what they have resorted to now, and you've seen the stories, you've heard the stories, how they actually have their pay people about over $100,000, six digits, six figures, to walk around in hazmat suits and clean up human excrement from sidewalks. Not quite sure. I guess you can tell. I guess if you do it as a job, you know the difference between human and animal. But they pay people to do this because just, you know, in the storefronts, they're urinating on you know, storefronts and doors. And it's a wonderful place to be. And it's just out of control. And it's just a dump now. So what they're trying to do, because there's so many homeless people there, because they make it easy to be homeless. They pay you. You get a free cell phone. They now have places where you can go shoot up. So it's easy to be homeless there. There's a nonprofit called Safe Time in East Bay. And what they're doing is they're working to place homeless college students and families into the residents' spare bedrooms for up to a six-month period. So they want the residents, who life is hellish enough already, I don't feel sorry for them because you get the government you vote for, so stop complaining. They want them to take homeless people into their homes now in order to get them off the street. Because what could possibly go wrong with that business model? These are people who are on the street because somewhere in life they made poor choices, right? I think in general, we can all look at our lives, and if we have something wrong going on in our lives, we're like, oh yeah, well, that's where it went horribly awry. Because we can look back and say, that was a bad choice. And where you are in life, I firmly believe, is because of decisions you have made in your life. So we've all, some have made worse choices than others, and hence they're in worse situations than others. One woman who's done it, Christy Carpenter, said, this is something that someone can do when they just feel the despair of, oh my gosh, I just can't stand seeing these poor people in the streets near my home. They've placed, since 2017, they've been doing this, they've placed a total of 60 people. They're still plugging away at it, though. They pay about $35 a month for you to rent a room, basically, out to homeless people. In Richmond, in the area, Mayor Tom Butt is working with the Rotary Club to pair vagrants with landlords who will take them in. It's funded entirely by private donations. Landlords will get a 1 year's rent in advance. So that's the carrot. We've had some landlords come forward and offer it lower. They want to participate. And if residents express safety concerns, they understand that. But they say residents' worries regarding homeless people's struggles supersede safety concerns. Wait, in what world does your worry about taking a homeless person into your home, where does that supersede safety concerns for you and your family? Only in a liberal's mind, only in a lefty from California would that supersede your safety concerns. They're concerned with the homeless camps. People want to see solutions and want to be part of the solution. There is another group that houses former prisoners. Now, to me, that's a little safer because these guys have gone through background checks and they've been released for a reason. And sometimes they just need a hand up. I watch Pitbulls and Parolees. I get it. Another good show. I love that one. And they pay $30 a day to house someone in a spare bedroom for 6 months. And each former inmate is matched with a case manager to help them find a job and save money for a permanent home. Unbelievable. No wonder everyone is leaving California. All right, coming up, Jason Miller, the CEO of Getter, right here on the Todd Starn Show.
Peloton's best offer of the season is here. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Choose from a variety of accessories, like our cycling shoes, a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. This limited-time offer ends November 28th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer starts November 14th and ends November 28th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Happy Friday. I'm Mary Walter sitting in for Todd Starnes. Coming up in half an hour, sorry about that, will be Jason Miller, the CEO of Getter. He will be joining us, and you don't want to miss. I'm telling you, if you're not on Getter, if you're on Twitter, that's fine. But Getter is a little bit more free speech than Twitter, and there are a lot of people over at Getter. A lot of people have come over to that platform, and I like it. I like Getter. So, and I'm not just saying that because Jason Miller's coming on. I'm just saying that because I really like it. There were others that I was on, and I kind of fizzled out on, but not Getter. I'm still there. So I want to do two things here. The first thing I want to talk about is a poll that says 7 in 10 Americans say they're living paycheck to paycheck. And it's a new study. It's this recent survey of over 2,000 adults. And they found that 63% don't see themselves reaching a level of financial security that will allow them to live the lifestyle they want. Well, it depends on how old you are when you ask them that question. Because as you get older, your idea of the lifestyle you're going to lead definitely comes more into focus, okay? The lifestyle I'm leading now versus the lifestyle I thought I was going to lead, like when I got out of college and I'm in my 20s, radically different. Because to be honest with you, I didn't see this coming at all. I think most people are like that. You just don't see it coming. You're like, wow. And you look back on your 20s and you're like, I was so idealistic. Oh my God, what I thought life was going to be like. And then you get out in the real world and it runs over you like a steamroll. That bus comes boom somewhere along the line. And you wind up down the road. You're like, oh, all right. So this is what it was going to be like. Okay. And here you are. Never thought it was going to be this. So I think that really depends on how old the people are who responded to that. But they are finding the main push is that it's harder and harder for people to save their money. And I had said this earlier in the show. I said the reason that I think it's hard for our generation and the generations after us to save money is because each generation is paying more and more and more out of the money they make is going to the government. So there's more of that dollar that the government takes a chunk of. And then if you happen to keep some of it and invest it, they're taking a chunk of that too. So that dollar gets taxed more and more and more and more. And it can be taxed 3, 4, 5 times depending on how you use it, what's left of it. Because you're never really left with a dollar. You know, I see, oh, wow, they won two. Have you ever seen the show? Here I go. I'm going to put it this way. Another show that I watch, kind of, not all the time. My Lottery Dream Home. Have you watched that? It's on HGTV. And so I'm like, oh, My Lottery Dream Home. Most of the people, they won $1 million. They're looking for a home that's like $250,000. Because you win $1 million, the government's taking like 50% of it. So you're going to wind up with $500,000 on average. It could be $600,000, it could be $400,000, depending on your income bracket. So that's why they're looking for a house that's $250,000. You're like, whoa, I'm a millionaire. You're really not. You're really only a half an heir because the government's taking the other half. You're sharing that with them. You didn't know that when you bought the ticket, but Uncle Sam bought it with you, and Uncle Sam's taking his share. So that's why. They say that lack of financial education and resources may be to blame, particularly for women. Women are less likely to say they had access to financial tools in comparison to men. 844-747-8868. Inflation. The parties for the big game coming up. The parties for that game, a lot of people have these parties, which is why the day after a lot of people call out of work. 14% more expensive this year than last year. 14%. Now, it depends on what you serve. If you're going to have like chicken wings and hamburgers and things like that, the cost of meat is what's driving a lot of this. 14% more. You have to see it when you go to the grocery store. And the other thing they're doing is the price is going up. But the packaging's getting smaller, right? So not only are you paying more, but you're getting less. And I told this story on the air the other day. Last week, I went to go get this pizza. So this pie, it's a pizzeria that came in from Brooklyn, and they make this pie that is a spinach artichoke cream pie. And it was thick. Like the first time our friends brought it over from this new pizzeria, they brought one pie for the four of us, and this thing weighed like 5 pounds, and it's super thick with this cheese, and you can eat just a couple pieces. So one pie, one large for four people was more than enough, and we had some left over because it was so full. This thing, it was amazing, and it ran you like $23, somewhere in that range, which is a little pricey, but it was amazing, and you can only eat it, you know, a couple times a year. So I was going to be going by the place, because luckily it is not close. So I was going to be going by, so I called ahead and I ordered the pie. I pick it up and I'm like, wow, it's awful late. All right. And it was $28. The price had gone up $5. $5 for a pizza. I was like, oh, and I understand the costs are going up. I get it. $5. And I get the pie home and I look at it. I open it up. My husband's like, look at this. It was thin. There was barely any topping on it. There was barely any cheese sauce on it. It was sad looking. It was very sad, especially for almost $30, $28. Having gone up, I'm paying $5 more, and I got like half of what the pie was before. So not only are the prices going up, but they're cutting back on what they're giving you. And I get it. I understand it. It's hard for these places to stay to make ends meet, especially after being shut down some of these places for a year. I understand it. But I only have so much money. So I have less money too. 844-747-8868. Most women in this survey said that most of them, to educate themselves on how to handle finances, turned to social media. There you go. Their family and or online media such like financial news websites. Most women said that noted an absence of credit card debt as the most important requirement to be financially comfortable. I can't have credit card debt hanging over me. That is so true. That is so true. The majority men, though, said that they had to own a home in order to feel financially comfortable. On average, respondents said they felt they needed an average of $686 of disposable income per month to feel financially comfortable. So I'm curious to see where your financial plan is. I'm curious to see how inflation is affecting you and the prices that you're starting to see. Are you cutting back anywhere? We're not getting the $30 pizza anymore. That's just not happening. My husband's like, look, next time you go by, which will be, you know, it's sometime in the summer. Next time you go by, we'll try it again. We'll give him one more shot. If it's gone up more, or if it's, you know, as crummy as it is this time, as disappointing as it was this time, then, you know, we're just not getting it anymore. We're writing it off. So that's what we're doing. We're definitely cutting back on things. I get products from the store, you know, for a recipe for something, and I need a pound, and it's only 14 ounces, right? It's not 16 ounces. They cut a little bit. So now I got to buy two in order to get what I need, the amount that I need, or it's even less. It's 12 ounces, you know, and you have to buy more in order to get what you want, and then you have leftover, but that's how they're cutting costs. So hopefully you don't notice. And that's never going to go back. They're never going to go back to a full pound in the packaging. They're going to recoup their losses. They're going to make more money off of it if prices ever do go down. And then you add in the blockade, the convoy that's blocking off the access and the trade between the United States and Canada, and that drives up prices and scarcity even more. It's bare shelves. So if you want to share your story, 844-747-8868. Now, on another note, and I'm going to throw this in here. We were just talking off the air about things that like your parents lied to you about. And we thought it would be fun to just have a discussion. And I don't know when I'm going to be back on this show. So I'm like, let's just throw it in here. When you call up, I'd love to know when you chime in. Was there anything your parents lied to you about that you later found out wasn't true? Like one of the things my parents lied to us about, and I'm the oldest, so they really lied to me more than my brothers. And then, you know, threatened to kill me if I told them the truth. So when I was a kid, my father had me convinced that if I did anything wrong, if a parent gave the principal permission to spank their child, that the principal could spank their child. So, because I was always like, they can't touch me. They're not allowed to do anything. It's illegal for them to touch me. You know, here I am in, you know, fourth grade. They can't spank me. I rode that pony. My father played that game all the way through elementary school, all the way through sixth grade. I lived in fear because I thought that my parents had written a note to the principal to tell the principal that it was okay to spank me if I did anything wrong. And there were tales of, you know, he had wooden paddles in his office and the whole nine yards. Total lie. None of it true. None of it true. And I bought it hook, line, and sinker. But when I look back on it, like I was a little annoyed at the time, but when I look back on it, I'm like, that was kind of brilliant. That was actually kind of brilliant. It's a great way to keep your kid in line. So my parents did that a lot. My parents lied to us quite a bit about certain things in order to keep us in line. You know, how many kids were told you can't go swimming for an hour after you eat? That's just because mom didn't want to have to watch you. She wanted to sit. She wanted to have something to eat. She wanted to eat in peace and quiet. I'm sorry it hasn't been an hour yet. You have to sit here, go play in the sand with your brother. And it worked. We thought that was gospel. How many of us thought that that was gospel? You'll get a stomach ache and you'll die. You'll get a cramp. You're going to get a cramp in the water and you're going to drown. So you can't go in the ocean just yet. You have to wait. You're like, oh, okay. We bought it hook, line, and sinker. It's a fallacy. You're going to get a cramp. Mom just wanted to sit and eat her lunch in peace without you complaining and bugging her or having to sit there and watch the ocean instead of being able to eat her lunch or read her book or whatever it was. 844-747-8868. So let's talk about your wallet. And if you want to add a fun story about something that your parents lied to you about it when you were a kid and you bought it and you look back on it now and you're like, either you're annoyed about it, you don't think it was very, very smart thing to do or it wasn't fair, or like me, you look back on it and go, that was brilliant. I totally get it now. As an adult, I totally understand why you did that. I want to hear your stories. I'm Mary Welter. Your call's coming up on the Todd Starn Show.
Peloton's best offer of the season is here. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Choose from a variety of accessories, like our cycling shoes, a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. This limited-time offer ends November 28th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer starts November 14th and ends November 28th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
Mary Welter in for Todd Starnes. Now, before I go to the phones here, I just want to tell you about MyPillow. I swear by MyPillow. We have them everywhere. We have them at all our guest rooms. We take them up to my in-law's vacation home when we go. And the sheets are amazing. And just all of the products that I have tried from MyPillow, I can honestly tell you, I absolutely love. And they have expanded. They have so much stuff now. They have accessory pillows, Mike's products, the slippers. People swear by the slippers. Haven't gotten those yet. Mattress toppers. Have the mattress topper. I can tell you, love the mattress topper as well. It is, especially if you have a mattress that's really hard and uncomfortable, as we do at my in-law's vacation home. We have, you know, so we don't get to pick out any of the bedding or anything. It's not our home. So we have a MyPillow mattress topper that we had sent there for the bed that we use, the bedroom we use, and it's ours. It's rolled up in the closet. We come in because they like a very hard mattress. We put the mattress topper on. It is amazing. Go to MyPillow.com and also check out the new arrivals section. That has got some fun stuff as well, and they're really expanding their products. Check it out, because I can tell you everything I've gotten from MyPillow, it's just been phenomenal. I've really, really swear by their products. You make sure you use the promo code STARNES, STARNES, the promo code STARNES when you check out. You get your special discount. Now, let's go to your calls, 844-747-8868, talking about how inflation's affecting your budget. But also, we were having a fun conversation off the air. I thought I would bring you into it. Things your parents lied to you about that you didn't find out till later in life, like they totally lied to you. Now, I found out about the whole spanking when you were a kid in school. Like, I totally found out that that was a ruse. And my father said to me, and you will not tell your brothers. If you tell your brothers, you'll be punished. Like, and I was more than happy to let my brothers labor under the assumption that they were going to get it if they acted up in school, because that was my personal hell and it kept me in line. So I figured, why not share it? So I did. Let's go to Steve in Arkansas. Steve, you're on the Todd Starn Show. How are you?
Just fine, Mary. I'm a little older than you probably. I'm almost 70, but one of the deals that was pulled on me as a kid, and I spent hundreds of hours doing this, I was told by my parents and grandparents that if you wanted to catch a bird, all you had to do is sprinkle salt on their tail, and it would temporarily paralyze them, and you could just pick them up and pet them. So I spent hours as a kid with a salt shaker out trying to slip up on birds and put salt on their tail.
Hold on. My mother did the same thing to me, and I spent, as you, hours in the backyard with a salt shaker at like the age of four trying to catch birds.
Yes, yes.
It works like a charm.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if that has any bearings on some of the political scams we call for today.
Here's another one. My mother told my brother he had a binky, and they wanted him to get rid of the binky. So my mother told him that the birds in the backyard, one of the birds in the backyard, took the binky for her babies because he was a big boy now. He spent days and hours in the window going, which one took it? Which one? Show me the bird. Looking for the bird with his binky.
my family was a lot crueler than yours. My youngest cousin, when they were trying to bottle break him, he was probably about 3 years old, and they just couldn't get him to give up a bottle. We took his bottle down to my grandfather's hog pen and threw it in there with those hogs.
We didn't have any hogs to throw it in with, so my mother had to go to the bird route, you know. So we were in suburban New Jersey at the time.
Everything you throw in a hog pen, they just destroy it. And we did it in front of him, and then every time he would ask for his bottle after that, we'd say, it's in the hog pen, go get it. that was the end of the bottle.
Oh, Steve, thank you for sharing that. That was great. If you want to jump in quickly, 844-747-8868. But I think that's hilarious that his mom did to him what my mom did to me with the salt on the tail. Grace, you had one. What was your story?
Yeah, my mom used to tell me she could communicate with our family dog. So she would use that to get me, you know, to do things and believe things. And she would say, oh, yeah, our dog told me X, Y, Z. And I believed her for like multiple years. I really thought she had this magical ability to communicate with our dog.
That's brilliant.
Because I love dogs. So it was like, oh, that's so cool. I'll do anything you want.
Yeah, see, we are not only making everyone smarter with politics, but look at the parenting tips that we are sharing right now,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Look at these incredible parenting tips.
And first we talked, you know, we had coffee tips, so you got your diet tips, and now we're doing parenting. So, got everything here on the show.
Exactly. Now, I think it started with my family, and I'll tell you this story very quickly. My mom, we never had a dog because my mother was always told us she was allergic, so we couldn't have a dog, and we always wanted a dog as kids.
Sad.
My father comes home one day with this dog, this soaking wet little thing that he found in the street and almost got hit by a car, so my father brings it home. My mother's like, it has to stay in the garage because I'm allergic. So the dog stays in the garage for like 2 days. My grandparents come, and my mother's like, yeah, I don't know what to do with this dog because I'm allergic, so we can't have the dog, and the kids want the dog. My grandmother looks at her and goes, oh, honey, you're not allergic to dogs. I just told you that because I never wanted one.
That's cruel.
So the brilliant parenting started with my grandmother. Coming up, Jason Miller, the CEO of Getter. That is on the Todd Starn Show.
Peloton's best offer of the season is here. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton bike, bike plus, or tread. Choose from a variety of accessories, like our cycling shoes, a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. This limited time offer ends November 28th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer starts November 14th and ends November 28th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
Mary Walter sitting in for Todd Starnes on this Friday. 844-747-8868 is my number. And I want to talk to you a little bit about social media. We're going to be joined by the CEO of Getter, Jason Miller, and talking about big tech censorship and what is happening with that. And the latest case being Joe Rogan. And, you know, I'm curious to find out how many people are just fed up
by the censorship. I notice, and this is exactly what they want. I notice myself when it comes to social media, because I have, I have an account on Getter. I had an account on Parler. I still have an account on Parler. I just don't really use it anymore because I'm on Getter all the time. I have my Facebook account. On Facebook, I have three different accounts. I have my personal account. I have four. I have my personal account. I have a page from a show that I used to do, but I'm keeping the name just to hold on to it. I have my public page that people can join. And then I have a group that you have to apply to join, and you have to, you know, read the rules and that kind of thing. And then I have Twitter, of course. I got Twitter along with Gitter. I do not have Instagram or anything else because it's too much. But what I've noticed is, like, things that I won't post on Facebook, I can post on Gitter. And then, you know, there's things that I won't post, on YouTube, but I'll post on Rumble. You know, because you have to do this dance because you're going to get censored. And you have to be really careful about what you post. I know I've started, and friends of mine have said, you know, it's to the point now you can actually hire a service that will come and just clean up your social media for you. Just clean it up, because if you post a lot of stuff, you retweet a lot of stuff, you share a lot of things, after a while you try to go back, you're like, oh, I'll get it in a couple of days, I'll go back and I'll remove it in a couple of days. You never do. You just never wind up removing it ever. And it becomes a problem. Like, if you're going to apply for a job, you never know what they're going to look for. And it could be something that's totally benign to you, something that you've posted that you don't think is a big deal, but could negate you getting a job because of what you posted, because someone else who is viewing it from the company, who's, and I'm sure most companies do searches to find out what you're posting, right? So I'm just curious, if you are you self-censoring? And, you know, do you find yourself holding different media, different social media accounts because of that reason? You know, when Gitter came along, I was really excited. When Parler came along, I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then they combined, and you saw the big tech companies take Parler down. They took it down. They have not come after Gitter in the same way. I don't know why they haven't come after Gitter in the same way, and I'm curious as to why they have not come back to Gitter in the same way. Let's quickly go to Benjamin from Texas. He's holding on here to talk about inflation and how it is affecting, you know, his life and his bottom line. It's affecting all of our bottom lines. And if you want to share that, please do. 844-747-8868. We were also having some fun, if you're just joining us, talking about things that your parents lied to you about when you were a kid. For whatever reason, just for fun, just to watch you, or, you know, because they didn't feel like dealing with something like animals, so they just told you you were allergic to them, or they were allergic, and so you couldn't have them. That type of stuff. You know, creative parenting tips here on the Todd Starnes Show. Benjamin, welcome. Appreciate you joining us, and thanks for holding on.
I'm very great to talk to you.
Thank you. So, go ahead. How is it affecting you?
Yeah, well, me and my dad own a pool cleaning business, and since, I guess, about in the last 2 years, we used to buy a 50-pound bucket of chlorine tablets for about $70, and that same bucket now is about $180, and yes, and on top of fuel prices and everything else, too, that's just one thing.
Holy... That's a crazy increase. But now, is that chemical not made in the United States? Does it come from elsewhere?
It's made in the United States. They blamed it on a chemical plant that burned down last year, and they said one just burned down recently, but that's the only ones making them. So their supply is short, and that's part of the supply chain issue, too.
Well, don't worry. Pete Buttigieg is on it. We've got Pete Buttigieg solving that, so don't worry about it.
We better get in a different business.
Yeah. Yeah. Pete Buttigieg is like the guy whose plan, you know, for cleaning his driveway and the sidewalks is he's just going to wait for it to melt. Everybody's got that neighbor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He's that neighbor. So,
out there in our freeze.
So now, do you pass that cost on to the customer? You have to, right?
We have to, and we just went up on all of our prices, and we've since lost a couple of customers because of it, because they can't they can't pay that, and a few of them are in fixed incomes, and they just can't do it.
So, well, let me just tell you, everyone's on a fixed income. I hate when people say people are on a fixed income. We're all on a fixed income, because even if you're not a senior, I don't know of a boss that says, oh, your taxes went up. Sure, let me pay you more.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
Right.
So everybody's on a fixed income. My taxes go up. My boss looks at me and goes, okay, so did mine. What do you expect me to do? I'm not paying you more. That's just the way it is. But I wonder now, when people leave you, are they going to a company that's less expensive, or are they doing it themselves?
They're probably going to end up doing it themselves. They'll probably call us back once they see the prices. But
they
just don't see that everything's going up so high.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. Benjamin, I got to run, but thank you for sharing that. I don't mean to cut you short. I apologize. But Jason Miller, the CEO of Getter, is now with us. We were talking a little bit about social media. Thank you for joining us. It's always good to talk to you.
Mary, good to be back on with you.
So first of all, congratulations, because you have just grown in leaps and bounds thanks to Marjorie Taylor Greene and Joe Rogan, the big one. I mean, my goodness, how many people did you add with Joe Rogan coming over?
Well, great question. So we added about 1.7 million people over the month of January and the first week of February. Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson, I tell you, Tommy Robinson in the UK released a brand new video that got us a lot of attention. We've been growing in the US and all over the world. It's really been exciting to see. So we grew by about 50% just in the 1 month, or about in the first 5 weeks of 2022.
And by the way, all late to the party, I had my Getter account before. I was one of the early ones. You could get it before it went live. I did. That was me. I was there. So there, as far as I'm concerned, they are all just followers.
Safe to say.
Why haven't the other social media companies come after you the way they went after Parler?
You know, I think a couple of the reasons. One, I think we've taken a pretty serious approach to moderation. I think we have both a proactive and robust plan where we make sure that we guarantee your political free speech, but we're also going to make sure that we keep this site safe from things such as ISIS or pornography or child predators or people who want to come on and spew, say, racial or religious epithets. So we allow people a lot of leeway, way much more than, say, Twitter or Facebook or any of these accounts that are going through and exercising political discrimination to pick winners and losers. And I think where Parler, I think, had their challenge initially is they were relying, I think, too heavily on the community policing. And the problem is that when you start getting massive amounts of activity, you simply can't scale to keep up with it in the same way.
Yeah.
So we use both an AI and artificial intelligence as well as human moderators. And we do have our own group of about 1,000 volunteers to help, but that's all just to supplement what's already going on. So I think it's that. I think we've taken a serious approach to that. But also, too, we've made sure to – I think we've had a great inviting platform that really makes it where people are wanting to come and check it out.
Now, what are some of the changes that are coming to Getter?
Exactly. So we've already, right now we have our initial, you know, it's, I guess you could call it the microblogging, the short messages in a similar fashion to, say, Twitter, Facebook. And we've launched our live streaming, which is really popular and gotten a lot of attention. In fact, we had 1 million people watch President Trump's speech in Arizona via Getter. And we had about 700,000 that watched President Trump's speech from Conroe, Texas on Getter. So it's huge numbers that are watching it. And we're, again, last week, and it was the Super Bowl Saturday of French politics with Eric Zemmour and Marine Le Pen and all the different French presidential candidates who had events that were streamed on Getter. But we have coming up next week, we're going to launch Vision, which is our short video competitor to TikTok or Instagram. And then this summer, that's when we launch GetterPay, our two-coin crypto ecosystem. It's really going to revolutionize, I think, how people are looking at digital commerce, and it's going to be pretty exciting.
Wow, I don't even understand that. I don't even understand what that is, but it sounds exciting, and I want to know about it.
Yes, and so what we're doing is there are a number of different payment platforms, whether it's Apple Pay or Google Pay or Samsung Pay, and of course I could rattle off a whole bunch of others. But what we're incorporating into it is the cryptocurrency element to allow people to be able to buy crypto and do things like peer-to-peer lending and kind of the decentralized finance and all these cool ways to use blockchain in a way that kind of challenges the institutional norms of lending. But we're also going to have two coins, both a stable coin and a fluctuating coin. Now, the fluctuating coin, there's really not much of any, government regulation that goes into that. The stablecoin, a little bit more complicated. That's what Facebook was throwing their hands up and why they walked away from it. We believe that we can get it done so we can have this two-coin environment. And I think there are a lot of people, Mary, quite frankly, who just say, you know what, I've kind of always wanted to check out some of the cryptocurrency and the marketplace that different people have, but haven't really found a group that I felt comfortable doing it with or I really trusted. We hope that we'll give people that experience.
That is so interesting. Now, I'm also interested in, because I've seen on Getter, because I'm on there all the time, all this live streaming that you're talking about. So I've been wondering, how do you do that? Because I've started a podcast, and we do it every Thursday night. And when I do it, it doesn't give me the option of streaming on Getter. It gives me Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I think Rumble's on there. But Getter's not on there as an option to share it with. So how is that done? Is that a specific something that you do and just do it on Getter separate from everything else?
Yeah, great question. So if you're doing it from mobile, which I'll confirm that you have that set up right now to be able to do it from either mobile or from, if you're doing it from, say, a camera or from a PC, a Mac or a PC.
Right.
If you're doing it on your mobile, you literally, it is three taps of a button and you're going live. It's literally, that's it. If you're doing it from, and I'm going to double check right now and make sure that you're set up for that. We're still technically in our beta testing. What I mean by that is of our 4.7 million people, I think we have about 2,000 people who are up and going with live streaming. Reason being is because we're continuing to go through, and there are just a lot of little things to fix and update, make sure as we before we open it up to everybody scale goes off the chain. But with regard to if you're doing it from your computer, then it's as simple. We do something like a StreamYard or something of that nature.
That's what I'm using. I'm using StreamYard.
Okay. Then it'll literally just take a couple clicks of the button, but I'll make sure you're set up for that right when we get off the call.
Oh, yeah. I was just curious. I don't expect anything special. I didn't realize it was beta test. I just see all these people doing it, and we've launched this podcast on Mary Walter Radio, the podcast. Check it out.
Easy. All you have to do is ask, and I'm easy like that.
Thank you. I was just, like I said, curious as to how that's done, because I do know a lot of people who are interested in doing that. And that is one of the great things about the service, is that it is kind of like a mashup of Facebook and Twitter, because you have more characters than you do on Twitter, which is great. But yet it's also a timeline like Twitter at the same time. So it's like a mashup of the two, and it really has grown in leaps and bounds. So I really urge people who are interested in having, as we were just talking about, I have more than one outlet, because I can't say certain things on Twitter or on Facebook, but I know I can say them on Getter, because I'm not advocating violence or anything like that. I'm just asking questions that I think people should be allowed to ask, you know, regarding even in COVID or things like that, or studies that come out that if you put it on one of those other platforms, you're going to get censored.
Well, exactly. And that's the main thing that we go back to, is that we oppose political discrimination. We oppose these big tech companies picking winners and losers just because of your political ideology. And that's really our ideological North Star that we have, is making sure, how do we provide people that safe space to talk politics? And again, you can come from the left or the right, or maybe you don't even want to talk politics. Maybe you just want to talk about the big game this weekend. By the way, I do like the Bengals take the points if you get the chance. Not that I'm paying any attention to it or have any skin in the game, but that'd be my recommendation. But there'll be people talking about football. Certainly, my pictures of my golden doodle get posted quite a bit. So it doesn't have to be all politics, and we're actually, one of the things we're really working to do is to broaden out and add more people from sports and entertainment. So we're actually just signed a contract to partner up with some German comedians, which the first thing I said was I didn't know anyone from Germany was funny. So I got to tune in and watch this myself. Granted, I don't think my My very limited German will get me far, but hopefully someone can tell me what they're saying. But we're looking to team up on everything from UFC fighters from Brazil to sumo wrestlers from Japan. All over, we have all sorts of different partnerships and team ups that we're looking at here. We actually have about a dozen MMA fighters that are currently on the platform and looking to add more, and of course, a couple of folks in the NBA. So I think we have some really exciting things to come.
Well, you beat me to the joke about the Germans, although I do speak German because I grew up speaking German. But, you know, the big joke is I'm glad you're having comedians from Germany on because, you know, they're known for their humor, you know. The jokes write themselves on that one.
they really do. That was the first time it was proposed to me. I was like, hey, I didn't know anyone in Germany was funny. And I was the only one laughing on the call, but I sure, you know, that was enough of the laugh for me. But no, apparently they're hilarious and look forward to getting them on board. And even have some former football players live in the UK. And it's so fun that every day there's somebody new who joins, and our country teams will tell me, you know, this person's huge because they did the following. And I'm like, wait, this is like a four-time Olympic athlete, you know, played goalie in the World Cup and these huge names. I believe it was the goalie from the World Cup that we added, I believe it was from Brazil. And it's so exciting to have these big names that are huge in their respective countries and communities. And even as we talk about the live streaming, which you referenced, I mean, some real big people, whether it be Steve Bannon or Diamond and Silk or Brandon Straka actually had a really powerful live stream that he did yesterday. Yes. Dinesh D'Souza. So it's exciting to just look down the list. I get these metrics reports every day of the top live streams and see some of the exciting names and some of the names I know and some I don't. And I'm looking forward to watching as many of them as possible.
Yeah, and Dinesh has been a prolific poster since day one.
He really has. He's a machine.
He truly is. I wish I had his people because I need people at this point in the game. With all this social media, I need people. So if you can hook me up with people, that would be great. No, I appreciate it. Jason Miller, CEO of Getter on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. If you have not joined, I'm telling you, you want to get in before someone else gets your name or the name that you want. But that may be already taken because so many people have joined. And it is branching out from politics. I can tell you from being on it every day that I am seeing more pictures of things that aren't political, which is nice to see it branching out to more of a common usage the way you see a lot on Facebook and Twitter. And it's easy to use too, which is also very, very important for old people like me. So, Jason Miller, thank you so much. Have a fantastic weekend. Keep up the good work. I can't wait to see what's coming next. I think we lost it. All right. Okay, so I totally lied. I can't take your call. Sorry about that. It's been so much fun sitting here in the Liberty University studio, sitting in for Todd. I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. Thank you to Grace. Thank you to Kyle for helping me do it. I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd Starnes.